All right. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Eric Norris. All right. Now we're good. Pastor Eric Norris, otherwise known as the pastor in a pinch, because when the real pastors want to be away, they just call me and say, hey, we want to be away. Would you take it? So that's good. I do have some bad news for you, though. There used to be this big clock right there in the screen I'm looking at. It's no longer there. And you have to understand that for someone who is used to preaching every week, and now I preach about twice a year, you're in trouble. And so I'll try to keep it within a two-hour time frame or so. All right. But anyway, we're gonna get through it. If you are new or a guest today, we're glad you're here. When you walked in, you received this connection card. There's a place here to fill out your information. We'd love for you to fill it out, turn it in at the welcome station out front, and we'd love to get to know you. After the service, immediately after the service, there's a meet and greet. We'll meet right under the cross here. If you'd like to know more about who we are, what we stand for, we'll meet you under the cross. There's also notes on here or places for you to fill in the blanks as I talk, so feel free to grab that and take notes as you will. When Pastor Brian asked me to speak, it was the conclusion of the Office series, and he asked if I wanted to tag this series of messages on to the Office. And so as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? I don't need some cheesy video to introduce the sermon. I think the sermon today, the word's powerful, it's going to stand by itself. I don't need any gimmicks. And so today we're going to talk about being a superstar. My cape showing. All right, now we're set. Well, Steve, I'm sorry. All right, we're getting there. You know, I suppose most of us would have to admit when we were younger, there was something about a superhero or a superstar that stood out to us. I was a Batman guy. Some of you I know are Superman people. I also probably would say that some of you probably are still Superman and Batman, even as adults, and there's counseling for that. Be it as it, we want to talk about being a superstar today. I grew up chasing Terry. I was Terry Bradshaw. Now, if you're not old enough, you don't remember who Terry Bradshaw is. Terry Bradshaw was a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s, and I grew up, you know, getting chased by Too Tall Jones and Randy White or the Purple People Eaters, who were the Minnesota Vikings front line, and I'd sling touchdown passes all over the yard. This is a superstar. If you don't know who Patrick Mahomes is, watch Monday Night Football this week, and you'll see him throw about six touchdown passes, 600 yards or so. I throw some other stars up here, people that you may have dreamed of being. The next guy, anybody know who this is? These are the Beatles, yeah, Abbey Road. And so if you're not old enough to remember, some of you wanted to grow up and be superstar singers and sing in front of millions of people. I asked the guys up there to put a movie star up there. They did it in the first service, and I didn't know who it was. But anyway, they tell me it's Robert Downey Jr. or somebody like that. And so he's a superstar, I guess. I haven't seen it. But the truth is, at some point, a lot of us have thought about being someone else, being a superstar, being someone famous. When I was a kid, we pretended, I have five brothers and one sister, and so we would often pretend to be the characters from TV. Now, we only got two channels, and that was only if the weather was good and the antenna wasn't frozen in the ground, but we got Bonanza, so we were Bonanza Cowboys, or we were, we might have been Gilligan's Island folks from that series. We did watch a couple that my parents didn't like us to watch. We did watch I Dream of Jeannie and Wonder Woman. I'm just going to leave it there. When you're 12 years old. Anyway, but you know what? This morning, I want you to know that it's not necessary to dream about being a superstar or a superhero. Because what if I told you already are? What if I told you were already a superstar? You're already a superhero. One of the things that we do in this church, because we are a great missionary church, is we get to hear from missionaries we support all around the world. And occasionally they'll respond to by letter, and they'll thank us for being able to support them, and then somehow that helps us feel like we're a part of what they're doing. We're a part of a special work. There's a letter or a book in the New Testament that we're going to be in today, and that book, it's a book that was originally written to a very special group of people in the New Testament. It was written by a missionary. Now, this particular missionary happened to be in prison at the time he writes it. And so the Apostle Paul writes the book of Philippians, or the letter Philippians, to a group of Christians in Philippi, and it's a pretty unique letter. And it's a thank you letter while he's in prison in Rome. Now, Philippi was a trade city. It was a very wealthy city. Philippi was on a trade route. A lot of Philippi was inhabited by military or former military rulers and generals who were given tracts of land around there. And so, primarily, he's writing to a Roman wealthy group of people, but this particular group of people have decided they want their Christ followers as a result of one of Paul's missionary journeys through that city at Philippi. Philippians is unique as a book and for a couple of reasons. It contains one of the most unique and awesome Christological passages in the whole New Testament. When I say Christological, that's a fancy word for words that point to who Christ is. And we're going to read that in a moment. It's also unique because it doesn't contain one reference to the Old Testament. Now, if he's writing to a group of Romans, there were no synagogue in the city of Philippi. So there were very few Jews in the city of Philippi. So if he starts spouting off a bunch of Old Testament law and references, they're not going to get it. So he's culturally relevant when he writes to Philippi. It's also a great book because it's known as the Book of Joy. 16 times, at least in the book of Philippi, in the book of Philippians, Paul references joy, that we're to be living lives of joy. And so we're going to start this morning by kind of setting some stage. If you want to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11, and then we're going to move on from there. Could I ask you to do something for me this morning? Just to honor God this morning, would you, if you're able, stand just in respect for the reading of God's word? Verse 5 says this, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You may be seated. Now, that's the Christological passage I referenced. Those are the words, the powerful words that tell a story about who Christ is. And so right shortly after Paul writes this reminder of who Christ is, we find the focus of what we're going to talk about this morning, and that's verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2. And it says in verses 14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." Read this line with me. "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." The New Living Translation says that you'll be shining like bright lights in the heavens. So Paul writes this encouraging thank you letter to this group of wealthy Romans who have set themselves apart. Their culture is kind of far different than what most Christian audiences would be. But he tells them, "You are shining stars." And he tells them you're shining stars because they are supporting him in his ministry. They're shining stars. And remember the context. Paul's object of gratitude in this thank you letter was to a group of people who are surrounded very much by anti-God. I mean, this is a group of people who are trained in torture and murder, a lot of them. And yet Paul says, "Thank you, you shine like stars." Why? Because you've set yourselves apart from that culture around you. They were shining stars. Now, verse 12. When you look at verse 12 of Romans 2, the very first word is "therefore." Now, if you've heard me speak before in the two times I get to preach a year, yeah, that was kind of a joke. There's the word "therefore," and whenever you are examining Scripture and you come across that word, you need to ask a question. Anybody know what the question is? What's it there for? So the word therefore, you always ask the question, what's it there for? And in this context, it's pointing back to those words about who Jesus is and that they are to be like-minded. They're to have the mind of Christ. They're to be Christ-like. So Paul says, therefore, because of who Christ is, because of the example he set, you too are to be like that. So he follows that up and says, here's what that means. Your mindset, if you look at those verses, Christ had a servant heart. Christ humbled himself. He had a humble attitude. And Christ had a willingness to sacrifice, to set himself aside for the sake of others. So Paul's telling this group of Romans, then that's how you should live. That's the faith you should live out. So he reminds this group of what it means to be Christ-like. Now we're going to focus on verses 14 through 18 to try to draw from that some practical help from how we do that. And so verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, what's it there for? My dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. So now's a good time to pull out that sermon outline to fill in some notes. Let me give you some keys to shining on, some keys to being superstars or superheroes in the faith. And the first is, shine for the right reasons. In your faith, shine for the right reasons. Paul makes note here. He says that not only did you obey when I was with you, you obeyed now that I'm not with you. And what he's saying there is that you continue to be obedient even when no one's looking. I mean, it's pretty easy to do and to be obedient when your mom's hanging around in the room, right? What do you do when mom's out of the room? Whatever you want until she finds out. And so I once heard a definition of integrity. Integrity is who you are when no one's looking. And so Paul tells this group of shining stars, you shine. You're obedient when I'm with you. You're obedient when I'm not with you. I grew up with five brothers. I'd like to say that we always obeyed what mom told us to do and dad told us to do. I'd be lying because that wasn't the case. But there was a cure for that. We got dad's tools of what I say in my notes. We got his tools of reinforcement. That was called a belt back in those days. I know you can't do that nowadays. But we don't always do what we're supposed to do. It's tough. So Paul reinforces his instructions to them to be Christ-like, and he says, here's how you do that. Here's the tools of reinforcement. Continue to work out your salvation. And when you read those words, it's pretty easy for us to think that that means that that we believe it's a works, our salvation is works-based, that what we do is what saves us, and that's not at all what he's saying here. He's not saying that you need to work so that you're saved. What he's saying there is there's a process, that our salvation starts a process for the rest of our lives. Our faith is an ongoing faith. It's a continuation. He says, continue to work. Always be continuing to work out your salvation. Always make sure you're progressing in your faith with fear and trembling. And fear and trembling there, I remember when I grew up in the church, our church was a good church, but my impression of God was that he was just a big thumb that wanted to smash me every time I did something wrong. That he was a judgmental God and that he just kind of looked and waited for me to mess up so he could smash me. And that's not who God at all is. And what this fear and trembling is, it's respect and honor of who God is. It's a respect and honor of our Creator. It's not a fear and trembling. However, there are times when fear and trembling play a part in that. I will tell you that I respected my dad. I really respected those tools of reinforcement. There are some times when love does the trick. Occasionally, there are times when we need to be prodded. In fact, in the book of James, James says that we are to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now, anybody know what spurs are? What do spurs do? They get the horse going the way you want him to go. So occasionally, that fear and trembling is we just honor and respect God for who he is. There are times in life when someone may need to put the spurs on to keep us going in the right direction. It's not always pleasant, but that's a part of our relationship and that respect and honor that we have. So continue, keep progressing in your faith with fear, with honor, with respect, for it is God who works in you to will and to act. And when we shine for the right reasons, it's because we've set our desires aside and they're superseded by what God wants for our lives. When we replace who we are for who God wants us to be, and we can only know the will of God and act if we are seeking the heart of God. Let me say that again. We can only know the will of God and act out the will of God if we're seeking the heart of God. And too often I hear people say, well, I don't know the will of God. How am I supposed to know the will of God? And there's an answer to that. You have to know who God is. And you know who God is right here. And so that is a part of our progress in the faith, is that we have to know the heart of God. And so if you forget anything I say today, remember this. Our faith and our obedience cannot be separated. They go hand in hand for the rest of our lives. You can say you have faith, but if your faith is not followed by a desire for obedience and a desire to progress in your faith, then it's a shallow, hollow faith. It can't be separated. So we shine like stars when we shine for the right reasons. When through obedience we allow God to work in our lives in ways that others are drawn to Him because of what they see in us. When we're superstars for Him, then we shine. That's the right reason. There's a second key to shining on, to being superstars. I like this when it's in verse 14. Write this down, right in big dark letters. Shine, don't whine. Shine, don't whine. Let me ask you a question. When you were told at school or by your parents or somebody that you had to eat everything on your plate, what did that mean? It means you had to eat everything on your plate. Most of us didn't get away with not eating everything on our plate. I use this example. In my job now, I have so many continuing education credits that I have to do every year to keep my licenses for insurance and securities. Now, what would happen if I just made the choice that I didn't want to do everything to keep that? You know the answer to that. I'd lose my license. I'd probably get fired. Life wouldn't be pretty. And so in verse 14, I want you to note something there. Second word. You might circle it or underline it, highlight it. Do. So what does everything mean there? Everything means everything. I checked the Strong's Concordance to make sure, but it really does. Everything means everything, all means all. Do everything without complaining or arguing, without murmuring, without, one commentary said, don't have secret debates with yourself. Now think about that for a moment. I was never in debate, but I'm smart enough to know the debate usually involves two people or groups of people. But oftentimes as Christians, we like to have these secret debates with ourselves. Complain and arguing. And it says do everything without complaining or arguing. That's another important word, so that you may be pure and blameless children of God. So shine for the right reasons, but shine, don't whine. Now, let me pause for dramatic emphasis here. I want you to look at that piece of paper, those notes, with this in mind. What is your everything? If it says do everything without complaining, as a Christ follower, as one who's to have the mindset of Christ, if I'm to do everything without complaining and arguing, what's my everything? Because I'm guessing you don't have to dig too far to find the answer to that. And that's what Paul is reminding folks here. Do everything. Don't be murmurers. Don't be complainers. And I wonder how much our testimony comes across as disingenuous because of our complaining and arguing. That instead of seeing redeemed winners, they see holy whiners. And I think we've become a church nowadays of holy whiners, where we like to whine a whole lot about what's not happening rather than point the way and shine like stars for what He's done. Thank you for that. And so Paul says in this letter, this thank you letter, we shine like stars when we learn to be content and not complain, and when we engage and not argue. Shine, don't whine. The third way that we can shine like stars, be steadfast as you shine by, and he gives us three things that will help us to shine. And let me get back to that word, so that. Just like therefore, you ask the question, what's it there for? When you see the word so that, pay attention, because it's pointed to something that's going to be pretty important for you. And so therefore, do all of this stuff. You have the mindset of Christ. Don't complain. Why do you do that? So that you might be pure and blameless children of God. If I could put this in Eric translation, it would say something like this up till now. Because Jesus has given us the perfect example to follow, we should keep obeying, keep walking, keep working without whining, and do that so that our testimony isn't tainted, our words aren't worthless in this world that's so mixed up. Why? So that we look different. And so how do we be steadfast? How do we shine? We do that by holding tightly, it says. Holding tightly as we hold out the word of life. So let me ask you a question. You've all seen the movies where somebody's fallen off a cliff or they've fallen off a building and they're hanging on, right? They got a hold of a root or they got their fingers locked on a windowsill. Now, I want you to put yourself on that windowsill or off that cliff. And let me ask you a question. How are you hanging on? Are you just kind of haphazardly got a grip? Come on, folks, this is interactive, see? If you're hanging off a cliff and you got a hold of a root and the only thing that separates you from death is that grip, how are you holding on? With all of your might. Because that is the lifeline to you. And folks, what Paul's saying here is hold tightly as you hold out the word of life. This is my lifeline. This is your lifeline. And we hold on to that with everything we have because to let go is to die. And as we do that, and only as we do that, then can we hold out the word of truth. Because what's in us is what is reflected, right? Our faith inwardly projects if we're holding tight to it, if we're holding on to the word of truth. And as we do that, then we can hold it out so others can see. So hold tightly to the word of truth, and then hold out the word of life. The measure by which we hold on to life is a lifeline. It's also the measure by which we're judged by others. Because most of us in this room at some point has let someone else know that we are a Christ follower. And instantly then we come under the microscope because they're watching how we're holding on. Am I holding on to the word of truth with everything I have and therefore holding it out? Or am I just kind of haphazardly holding on? In Psalms, it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It says, your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. It's a lifeline. And make no mistake about it, folks, someone's watching you. Someone at work, a grandchild, a child, someone that you have in a relationship with. Someone's watching you. They're watching how you're holding on. Secondly, we shine and remain steadfast. It says, by serving proudly. It says, the service and sacrifice, Paul says, coming from your faith. So here in this thank you letter part of the letter, Paul's saying thank you for holding on for service because from your faith, you're able to meet my needs. That's service. I realize that's sacrifice. And so Paul says thank you for that. And we shine, folks, when our faith moves us to action, to will and to act, it said earlier in this book. Our faith, if it's not moving you to sacrifice in some way, if it's not moving you to serve in some way, we've heard about children's ministry needs and worship team needs and all kinds of needs. If your faith is not moving you to serve and to sacrifice, you probably ought to search and see how tightly you're holding on. So we're to serve proudly. There shouldn't be any shame in who we serve and why we serve. And then finally, we remain steadfast as we live joyfully or living joyfully. Paul says, because of all this, you should be glad and rejoice. I'm glad and I rejoice with you, and you in turn should be glad and rejoice in me. And again, let me remind you the context of the story. No one in this story is living in Happy Town, right? Paul's in prison. Maybe going to die, and this group of Romans are countercultural to this awful culture around them. They're not living in Happy Town, but Paul says, you know what? Despite your circumstances, you should be glad and rejoice. And folks, our joy should not be tied to our circumstances. Let me say it again. My joy should never be tied to my circumstances, because then I become a holy whiner. Right? My joy is tied to my deep-seated faith in a God who loves me and has set me apart for his purpose and has a plan for my life, despite my circumstances. My life may not always be happy, but I can have joy. My circumstances may be awful, but I can live in joy. And my testimony, therefore, I'm holding out a word of life to someone who's looking at me and saying, there's something different about that dude. I think I want to know what that is. That's when we shine like stars. I have joy unspeakable, the old hymn said, and full of glory. That's what I want my life to be. So Paul was starstruck. He wasn't starstruck by the things most people are starstruck by lights and having your handprints in the stars somewhere. He was starstruck by a group of people who were holding tightly to their faith, who wanted to be Christ-like. I want you to know this morning that God sees you differently. Sometimes we see ourselves with tainted glasses. We see others with tainted glasses. But when God sees me, when God sees you, he sees us stamped with the word redeemed. He says that we're loved with an everlasting love. That's what I want others to see in me. And so the takeaway this morning, a star, a true star, is someone who shines for the right reasons and for doing the right things. Let me conclude this part with the message. I'm going to ask the ushers to be prepared to come forward. The message for these verses reads like this. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life and salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second-guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of the good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't do all this for nothing. Even if I'm executed here and now, I'll rejoice in being an element in the offering of your faith that you make on Christ's altar, a part of your rejoicing. Folks, shine. I'm going to ask the ushers to come, the worship team to come back. They're going to sing a song. We're going to take the offering. I'm going to pray for that offering, and then we'll conclude this morning's message. Would you pray with me? Father, this is your time. This is your word. Lord, whatever it is that you've spoken today, would you just sear it into our hearts in some significant way that we might serve, that we might sacrifice, that we might have the mind of Christ. Now, Lord, bless this offering. Again, it's your offering. And so we pray that you would take it and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, all that I am, and find my heart. On the altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart. On the altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
stand with us and sing. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me.
This morning, I'd like to introduce you to some superstars. Does anybody know who this is? It's a guy by the name of John Wesley. John Wesley was a superstar. Never had a light in his face, gave away about everything he ever had, but he was a superstar. My superstar is standing right over here. Now, in the first service, I said, you have to promise not to clap because it might be the divorce of me. This is my wife, Robin, who in the midst of cancer shines like a superstar because of everything she does points. She's a superhero. Let me introduce you to one more. It's you. You're superstars. You're superstars. When you hold tightly to the word, when you don't complain and you don't argue, when everything you do is something that someone else can look at and say, I see Jesus. So can I encourage you to go and shine? Be a superstar this week. Not by bright lights, just simply holding on tightly to truth in ways that others can see. Have a great week.
Here I am.
Anybody interested still in here? There's a meet and greet over here. If you're new to the church, there'll be somebody over there to meet with you. Thank you.